Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triple Jump podcast. It's a video game podcast. My name is Ben.
My name is Peter.
And my name is Ashton.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you feeling post-play?
Good.
Bruised.
Yeah.
You've had some time off now to recuperate.
I have some funny bruises, but that's okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I still feel like I haven't quite recovered because the day I was like, oh, I'm going to have the Sunday and the Monday off and I'll feel great. Mm. And then I had to go to Scarborough to see my mom for Mother's Day.
Marlborough.
So I'm still pretty sleepy, but this weekend is going to be the weekend where I catch up on
this
my sleep. I'm determined.
This is the chill out weekend.
Yeah.
Do you have like, because you're fending for yourself, right? So are
I
you going to get like the takeaway in and stuff?
No, I'm going to be good. I've bought enough food that should last
theoretically.
If
you cook
if
for
you
yourself,
eat it all every
yeah,
night.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm, but so, there's always the call of the void.
There is, but the issue is that I don't have the pizza void as much as like ordering in, as much as it's like just not having dinner. I often find myself, I'm like, oh, I can't be asked. So I just won't have dinner.
I always eat really late if I'm making it for myself just because I sort of can't be asked.
I'm just like faffing about.
Or I don't think about it. I'm like, oh, it's like 8:30 now.
I'll have like grabbed some snacks and I'm like, I'm not hungry. It's too late now. I'm not hungry. I'm just going to go to bed. And then I get told off by my boyfriend for not having had dinner.
Right. Well,
he should stop leaving me on my own then.
It's his fault.
Yeah.
Well, we came and saw your play.
We did.
And it was fantastic.
Thank you. And we
really enjoyed it.
It was really good.
You were excellent in it.
Thank you.
I kept sort of thinking about it for like 3 days afterwards. I was sort of sad. It was, you know, when you like finish reading a book or like, or you go to a play and then like it's over and you're like, oh, yeah, that was good. I liked those people. I briefly had those friends for 2 hours.
Yeah, those little fictional buds.
Yeah, and then for like 3 days, I was like, oh, my friends. They've gone. At least I've got one of them here.
Yeah.
She's not quite as good, but she's all right.
Someone told me that I was really good at listening on stage.
Oh.
He said that he always could tell that I was like listening. And I was like, that's crazy because I never listen.
An audience member.
Yeah. I was like, that's
a fun skill.
I was like, cool, thank you.
Really good at pretending to listen.
You're so good at listening. And I was like, thank you. I'm not good at listening.
I was just thinking about my next line.
Truly, most of the time I was.
Or someone stress dreams.
Basically all of last week.
Right.
Oh my goodness.
Lots of stress dreams.
But you're free now.
I'm free now.
Oh, except you're not, because you told us that you're throwing yourself right back into the fire.
Yeah.
You're going to audition for another play.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, best of luck with
that. Thank you.
Now you can catch up.
Never not be tired again.
No.
Just chain playing.
But this one's not until June, so I've got time off.
You got time. You can catch up on all those video games that you missed.
Yeah, all those video games.
All of your friends, Tareth and Aoife and
all the ones. Yeah, all of them.
Fantal Fantasy. This is a video game podcast, of course. Thank you so much for tuning in. Each and every week, we're sponsored by a very real video game adjacent sponsor. How many bulbs we got today? Steal one? Just the one bulb.
I think I had a dream that our last bulb went.
Really?
I don't know what we were going to do about it.
It'd be very symbolic, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, luckily we have two other lights over there. So if we really truly needed to do it without any lights on the ceiling, at least we have two other lights. It would look a bit moody and weird, but
yeah,
I like moody and weird.
Yeah,
that sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Cool. Anyway, yeah, Dead Island 2, The Spider. This is the point where we ask, has anyone seen the spider who usually takes up residence in this room? I cannot. We have not seen him all winter.
By the shirt.
By the shirt. Yeah. Triplejumpshop.com. Mm. Sim?
No.
He's going to be coming out soon, right?
There's a little tiny spider down there.
Okay.
So oh, maybe... Yeah. Maybe.
What was the DLC called for Dead Island 2?
Don't ask House.
Tiny Spider.
Was it House or something?
Yeah, House it was.
House. Yeah,
H-A-U-S.
So that could be that's Dead House. Island 2 House DLC The Spider.
Yeah.
Down there.
Okay. Maybe.
Where is
it? He's really in the small. Corner.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, that's good enough, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
There's a spider. There's
a Dead Island 2 The Spider. We love it. Peter, I believe you... Have you got the ad read in front of you?
I've got it right here.
For the sponsor.
There's a classic collection of brilliant retro third or first person shooters coming out today at time of recording.
Whoa, that's exciting.
How exciting. I can't wait to play it tonight.
Yeah, it's not gone down well.
Hopefully the server's working.
Has it not gone down well?
Did you not see the story Alex just posted? Well, it's been most... Well, let's find out what the game is first.
Well, you don't know, yeah.
And then we'll talk about what it might be after.
Right.
Well... that's what's happening, but they've also decided in aid of sort of promoting it further to immediately include a DLC that ties into a current day movie that has just come out.
Oh,
it's a June 2 extra like planet where you go in the sand and a big monster comes.
Yeah,
coming today, Star Worms Battlefront. Collector's Collection, whatever it's called.
Yeah, yeah. Collector's Collection.
Star Worms Battlefront.
Star Worms Battlefront. Yeah. Dune
Collector's Collection. Mm-hmm.
Look out for those Star Worms. They're going to get you. It could have been Sand Worms, probably. Yeah. That would have been all right. But, you know, it's all in space.
I've not watched Dune.
I haven't.
I watched the first one on it. I was bored the whole time. Mm-hmm. And then people were like, oh, but it's great. And I think those people are wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. They talk about spices, right?
It's about paprika.
Paprika and the other ones, turmeric.
Turmeric.
Is a big one.
Yeah.
Garam masala.
Lovely.
Indeed.
Mm. Sounds great.
It's not real.
Oh, darn it.
Yeah.
Damn. Yes,
sad face.
Unfortunately, not only is that not the sponsor, but apparently it's mostly downvoted on Steam. Mostly negative reviews because it's been crashing and it's buggy and the servers are...
Damn.
Which is a real shame. I hope they sort it out for the weekend.
Maybe it works offline, though. Maybe it's just multiplayer.
Offline, you would hope, right?
Yeah, because apparently there's an XL mode, which I think is... I don't know if that's just offline or if it's online and offline, but certainly offline, where they absolutely pack it full of AI...
CPU bots.
CPU, yeah, like way more than they had in the original game. So that sounds fun.
Yeah, that does sound fun. I would like to play with my friends, though.
Me too.
If that's okay, EA, do you mind? Could you just fix
Come
it?
On. You
could
knew you just... how excited everyone was.
It's such an old game as well.
Mm.
Could you just not release the same version? No, it's got to be broken.
Don't ask questions like that.
Sorry.
You'll get in trouble.
Sorry, Electronic Arts. We shouldn't have expected so much from you.
No.
No, we're not sponsored by Star Worms Battlefront Collector's Collection.
Yeah. Whatever it's called.
Of course, sponsored by our wonderful patrons over at patreon.com/Team Triple Jump. If you go over there and support us, thank you so much to everybody who is supporting us over there. By the way, the Patreon has never been performed better than it is right now. Mm-hmm. You can ask questions on this podcast. You get early access to episodes of Worst Games and Weirdest Games and exclusive access to all episodes of Rules Boss and Main Menu. We just recorded a Rules Boss this week, had a bit of a mishap with the gameplay capture, so we're going to re-record that Rules Boss next week. Mm. The next episode is a Main Menu, isn't it?
Yes.
Yep.
And that'll be out at the beginning of next month.
Yep.
It will.
Very exciting. Mm-hmm. We hope you look forward to it. It's
a weird one.
It's a weird one, yeah. Mm. Yeah, we like the weird ones sometimes.
Yeah.
Bend the rules a bit,
yeah.
A bit unconventional. So that'll be coming very soon. Triplejoe.mup is our website. That's where you can find literally everything we do. You want a cameo from us, you want to click on links to the various places, what we are. Triplejumpshop.com, new merch available now, including a very limited amount of Billy Ray Walrus plush buddies.
Yes.
You can get one. It's a pre-order item because once they've sold, we're just going to make them to order and that's it. And then and then it may come back in the future. No guarantee, no plan to do that though. So maybe you want to grab yourself one as well as some lovely shirts.
But there may be new different plush buddies
and
coming.
Jumper.
There might be a whole range of them. So start your collection with a Billy.
Collect them all.
And who's to say that, you know, other characters might appear in due course.
That would be exciting, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
No promises, though.
No.
It took us a while to get this one. Make it worth our while. TripleJumpShop.com. Thank you very much. And finally, once again, Patreon.com/TeamTripleJump. Big week of content this week, isn't there?
Yes.
All sorts of stuff coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Who wants to go first?
Me.
Go on.
Worst games ever, Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter. That is the Wii Ghost. Yeah, Graw. That is the Wii Ghost Recon from 2010 or something. It was bad.
Yeah. I was also really bad at playing it.
You were bad
well. Because I didn't read the instructions.
No.
Which is very unlike us.
And people will get very upset, probably.
For like 10 minutes and then we work it out. So.
Yeah.
They'll be all right.
Also, it came out on Monday. It was supposed to come out last week, but it didn't. But it came out this week.
Yeah.
It's every Pokemon game ranked from worst to best. Mm-hmm. People like it. People hate it. That's what Pokemon's about.
Yeah, it's actually going down very well. And the like to dislike ratio seems a lot of people agree with our rankings. Mm-hmm. So go check it out.
And then lastly, another video. It's from me this time. It's about why do people still think video games cause violence?
Yes.
We talked to actual doctors about it and investigated ourselves. And I think it's a good video. And you should watch it. It's out now on the channel, if you would be so kind.
It's excellent. A really good deep dive into the topic. I mean, I think most people who play games know that that's not the case. But why does the media still describe it as such?
Mm.
Ashton spoke to real doctors.
Real doctors.
Brilliantly co-written with Kat and edited by Kieran. And that'll be available on, is it Friday? So it should be out now?
Yes, out now.
Brilliant. Go watch that video.
A very profesh video.
Yeah. Well, good. Yeah. One thing a lot of you may have noticed as well is that we've had a bit of a change to our social media, just to give you a heads up. This happened after the last podcast. We have renamed our social medias to Triple Jump Gaming, just to make it clear that this is a video game
and
social media outlet.
Athletics.
Not an athletics social media outlet.
I don't know if anyone's been getting overexcited thinking that that means we're about to branch out into like Triple Jump
Triple
film
Jump Wrestling.
Yeah, which we're not.
No, we're not. It's much the same as when Cultaholic rebranded as Cultaholic Wrestling a while back, just to make it a bit more obvious what they were all about. The handle's still the same, Team Triple Jump, but it's going to be used as more of an aggregator of news content now. So you're going to see all sorts of news stories and shared videos and memes and that kind of stuff to hopefully bring new eyes to the product.
Hmm.
We're still posting, obviously, when we're going live, and the weird news post is still going out. The podcast question post is still going out, but it'll be at regular times. So you'll have to keep your eyes peeled because there's a lot more content on the feed now than there used to be.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still there and you can find it if you look for it.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Shall we move on to question one?
We've got a question from Beezus. Hi, Bap.
Hi.
With games...
Hello.
Increasingly releasing in digital-only editions, do you think special editions and collector's editions have seen their day? As a huge Alan Wake fan, I was really hoping the second game would have some sort of collector's edition I could buy and was gutted to find it was digital-only. Are game companies somewhat shooting themselves in the foot by missing out on all this extra money they could be making, or do you think they see it as more trouble than it's worth? Love from Beezus X. Kiss.
Kiss.
Thanks, Thank you, Beezus.
Game publishers love money. They really like it. They actually really, really like it.
Jeff Bezos loves it as well.
He does, yeah. So I don't think that the special edition or collector's edition is on its way out necessarily in and of itself. I think a couple of things are likely to change in the next few years. Firstly, games will become more and more digital only. We may even be looking at, if not in the next generation, then the generation after that probably won't even have a disc tray. So there won't be a disc to buy anymore. However, that's not a reason to stop selling collector's editions. And you're right that maybe we do see fewer of them nowadays, or less of them nowadays. And, you know, in the case of Alan Wake, that's a shame. As an Alan Wake fan, that you missed out on your potential collector's edition. But they're always going to be around, for sure. I think so. Because it's just money, isn't it? I don't think it's more trouble than it's worth. Any product that you... whatever the cost of creating it and shipping it out, you just charge more than that and you make profit. That's the capitalist society we live in. So... I don't think necessarily that the collector's edition is kind of has had its day. Even when we're in a world where there's not even a physical game anymore and a physical, like, nice steel book or anything like that, you'll still be getting a code in a box with a statue and a crap canvas bag and a and a whatever else. So yeah. I think it's going to keep happening.
Stickers.
Yeah.
Stickers. Got to get your stickers in you.
From my perspective, so I've never bought a collector's edition of any games ever because normally I can't afford them because they're so expensive.
Yeah. They're so much more expensive than they used to be.
Yeah, yeah. Games themselves are already £70, which feels like quite the commitment. And then you're like, oh yeah, for a few bits of tat, that's 250 quid. And I'm like, excuse me?
Do you want to know how much the, you know, the Final Fantasy VII remake box I had on the table for when we did our special podcast?
Yeah.
Just that little cardboard, you know, and it had like an art book in it, steel book and gubbins. Mm-hmm. And it's just a nice box. Yeah. And I was like, I'd like that. That was, I think, pulling a number out of my arse here, citation needed, maybe like £70 when that came out in 2020. Mm-hmm. The PS5 version of that, £100.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
£100 for that.
I think the thing is about collector's editions is that they're not exactly the most accessible things in the world in how expensive they are, especially nowadays. But also, I feel like the quality of them just isn't really that great. Like, again, this is from someone who's never bought one. But from the ones I've seen for games that I've really enjoyed, I've never felt like the price necessarily justifies what I am receiving. I think there's always like some cool like statues and stuff, but unfortunately I've got nowhere to put them, so they're useless to me. And also a lot of the time, a lot of collector's editions are just like, and some in-game cosmetics. And it's like, I don't care about that. Yeah. I don't care if it's got in-game cosmetics. So yeah, I think that maybe, I don't think they're leaving the space at all, because like I say, publishers love money and collector's editions make them a lot of money. I do think, given the way of the physical media kind of decline that's been happening in the last few years, I do wonder how much longer these collector's editions will continue, because I do think that maybe they're, I don't think they're pointless without the game, but I do think it's very interesting when people order the digital version and then they just have like a bunch of like statues and stuff, because you can get those probably cheaper elsewhere rather than ordering it directly. But anyway, that's by the by. But I do think that collector's editions are maybe becoming less and less of a thing, purely from a perspective of people just can't afford them anymore. So they become more collector's editions, I guess, because they're less frequently purchased. So I guess maybe they're actually raising the value of them by selling less. But yeah, no, I don't think they're going anywhere. But I do think that maybe they just need to be a bit cheaper, please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or just scaled back in what you're getting. Because I'd love a... I mean, Elden Ring, I think the default edition of that was quite a nice box. Mm-hmm. And it was like the day one... I think Cyberpunk did the same thing, didn't it? Like the day one edition, which was just the base edition of the game, but they made it look a bit nicer.
And it had like a few postcards and stuff in it, the Cyberpunk one.
I would spend maybe £10 more to get like a slightly bigger box with some gubbins in. But it seems like the shark has immediately jumped and it's like, here's a £250 version with a ridiculous statue in it. Oftentimes the statues are not of a high quality. Mm-hmm. And at that point, as you said, you may as well go to, you know, special figure manufacturers, play arts or whatever the hell they're called, you know, mm-hmm. that just get the licenses for all sorts of IPs and just make really high quality statues and then just get one of those, get a bust or whatever. Mm-hmm. In the case of Alan Wake, they didn't just forego a special edition. Obviously, they foregone an entire physical edition full stop. Mm-hmm. Like you could only get it digitally, which, as I said on the podcast at the time, I was surprised by because I wanted a physical copy and it's like, oh, that's weird. Now, they did that under the guise of saving consumers money.
Yeah.
Because that's how they justified not selling it for £70 digitally. It's like, if we do it physically, we're going to have to recoup the manufacturing costs somewhere. And I get that, but that is the exception and not the rule, because even when games are digital only, I'll tell you what, those publishers are going to get as much money out of you as they possibly can. Mm-hmm. So that is a real... You know, that is not a common occurrence at all. Like most places would not do that. I think there's some other interesting factors to it as well. There are, you know, specialist places like Limited Run Games will always be available to make not only physical copies of games that have only had a digital release, but also sometimes they do special editions as well. Mm-hmm. So I've got a couple of special editions on pre-order for Persona 4 Golden and Persona 3 Portable, which had a digital-only re-release last year, and I'm excited to get those, and those come with some tat. Mm-hmm. But I want to have it, you know. I think mm-hmm. that's nice. So there's that option. And there's also an option that we don't often talk about, which I suppose extends to, or an angle, sorry, that we don't often talk about, which extends to really just physical copies of games as much as collector's editions. And that's the environmental cost.
Yeah.
Because Football Manager used recycled cardboard packaging and vegetable inks in their 2020 version. And all the headline said, you can eat this if you want. Because it's fine. Mm-hmm. It's good for you. In fact, it's not. Don't do that. And there was a really interesting video that People Make Games made about how hard it is to recycle a physical copy of a game. And it involved Chris Bratt going to various local recycling centers trying to get rid of the disc, the plastic film that goes on the outside mm-hmm. of the box that keeps the sleeve in, and the plastic box itself. And they all needed different specialist recycling facilities to actually recycle, which obviously is the ultimate end result of a physical copy of a game that may never actually be seen, because we want to have them on our shelves. And that's where we want them forever and ever. Mm-hmm. But there is that aspect to consider as well, the fact that these things have to be produced somehow and made out of materials. And sometimes they do just get chucked in bins when people don't want to buy them, mm-hmm. like Immortals of Avium.
Yes.
That went on sale. What was it, a pound?
A pound.
Oh, yeah, yeah. 1 pound.
There's a lot of different things to consider. Personally, I like physical copies of games, and I do have a few collector's editions that I've bought over the years, but I certainly buy far fewer now than I used to. And I do think that they will be around in some fashion for a long time to come.
Have you ever bought a collector's edition?
I don't know if I've bought... Oh, I don't know. We've ended up with some. That's why what I'm trying to work out in my head. Like, sometimes we get sent them.
Yeah.
So I've got like one or two, but I think I've had a Steelbook Resi 4 bought for me. I did buy a copy of Tomb Raider Anniversary, which came with like some art and maybe the soundtrack and stuff. And it wasn't even intentional necessarily. I think I just went to the game shop and they had it.
Yeah.
And I wanted the game. So I think I just bought that. I don't even know if they had a regular copy. So I did buy that, but I can't think necessarily of one where I've like set out to be like, I want that special edition.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, here's a segment that I thought up last week while I was doing the play. I don't know if I've mentioned that I was.
Is
I
that
was
when
in
you were
play.
Listening really hard?
Yeah. But I thought, what else do I play? Games. So I came up with a segment that I thought we should call "What We Play In."
Ah, okay.
Sponsored by Your Play.
Yeah.
Sponsored by Ashton's Play. It's What We Play In time. Time to talk about the games, what we have been playing. Peter,
yeah.
What have you been playing?
Talking of Tomb Raider Anniversary, which was the game where they remade Tomb Raider 1 on its anniversary when it was like 15 years old or something, or 20. Mm-hmm. I've made it out of the Great Pyramids of Gizzard.
Yeah.
Yes.
I finished Tomb Raider 1. I'm now on Tomb Raider 2. I'm in China. And, you know, there's like a dragon and stuff. It's not there. It's in the opening cutscene. And there will be a dragon at the end that I have to fight with.
There's a dragon?
Yeah, big scary dragon. It wants to get you. Will it? No.
No.
Depends
on
how
Lara Croft.
Good you are at the game.
I'm worried because I saw someone tweet the other day saying that they started Tomb Raider 2 first, I think, because maybe it was their favorite or something, and it took them like, I don't think they said 60 hours, but they said like, you know, a lot. They said it took them like 25 hours or something, which is like, really? Okay. And I know that I've got a few games now coming out. Mm-hmm. Star Wars comes out today, Battlefront. Dragon's Dogma coming out. There's something else as well that I remembered like yesterday. I was like, oh yeah, there's that also happening, and I can't think what it is now, but there's a lot to play, and I'm kind of wondering if I maybe stop on Tomb Raider, because otherwise I'll get like, if I invest like 6, 10, 12 hours in it now and then I get distracted by new stuff that comes out, I may never go back to it, or I may feel like, oh, I'm kind of like, I got halfway and I'm like, I don't want to restart, but do I want to come back into a game halfway through? So not sure about that, but so I've only put like an hour or so into it so far, Tomb Raider 2, so I might stop. Other than that, did my weekly Jackbox. We played Trivia Murder Party 2, which I've not played before. It's just the same.
It is.
Same game.
Mm-hmm. Did he say welcome back at the start?
Yeah, I think he said welcome back. I can't remember, but... And what else did we play? We played TKO.
Yes.
And did some t-shirts. It's kind of tricky playing that game when you're like with your parents-in-law.
Right.
Yeah.
You have to be a bit careful.
Yeah. How rude do I go?
No willies.
The energy's very different than playing with your pals.
So instead you have to be like, if you still want to make people laugh, you have to be satirical. So one of my slogans I put, where is Kate Middleton? And that went down really well.
Oh,
so
they loved that.
They thought that was very funny. it's not funny if anything bad has happened, but you know, hopefully she's just recuperating from abdominal surgery and she'll just be back in Easter. Who knows?
Who knows?
We'll find out. That's all I've played though. Tomb Raider and some more Jackbox.
Lovely. So,
yeah.
I played a few things this week. I played some more Play Up. That game's great. I played some Hotel Renovator. We got code for this and I was playing it on stream last night, and then after the stream finished, I spent the rest of my evening playing it.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's good. It's quite like...
You get lost in it.
You get lost in it. And like I've kind of... So it didn't happen on stream, but like almost immediately after my stream finished, I got like an upgrade, which means everything is so much quicker because you're like destroying like the walls and repainting stuff. And then suddenly I got the ability to just like destroy an entire floor in one hit. And I was like, this is great. So quick.
Nice.
But yeah, I've been enjoying that game. It's good. It's a bit weird in places. Like there's like some spelling errors in some of the like speech bubbles, and like occasionally things just don't quite work out correctly, but hey, it's not a AAA game, so I'm willing to forgive it. And also last thing I played is Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I have been a soldier and I've been on a boat and now I'm on my holidays.
Hey,
nice.
Segues.
Not quite yet. Oh. I literally just arrived on my holiday to Costa del Sol.
Oh, lovely.
And then stopped playing because I ran out of time. But yeah, I've been enjoying that game. It is great. And I didn't win the like contest to be the best soldier. So I was a bit sad about that.
Oh.
But hey, it's
there's
fine.
Next time, right?
There's always next time.
You can just replay the 100-hour RPG.
Yeah. And I've been playing Mad Queen's Blood. Games.
Is that Mad Queen's comma blood?
Blood games. Yeah. yeah, those games are for I literally have won every single one in like the first go and I've not changed my deck once.
Wow.
I don't know how. I don't understand them all.
Damn, you got that crazy RNG then.
Yeah. Well, I have like added a few bits in, but like I did that in the first area and then haven't really changed anything since because it's too overwhelming and I don't know what all the cards do. And I'm just like, I'm going to stick with the ones that are working out for me.
Mm.
And I managed to win all of them so far. So
nice.
Yeah. But I keep saying to my boyfriend, I keep saying, I'm just built different. And he gets really annoyed. He's like, you're playing it on easy. I'm like, I'm just built different.
I don't know that Queen's Blood gets any easier though, does
no,
it?
I don't
do they,
know.
Do they nerf that? Because some of those
probably
are like,
not.
They're quite hard, some of those matches.
Yeah.
Not for you though, obviously, because
no,
you're
built
different.
And that's why it's very different for you.
But yeah, that's what I've been playing this week. What have you been playing, Ben?
I have like a paragraph of games. so here we go, shall we? I forgot to say that I played some more Far Cry 5 last week co-op. And I finished that last night, actually.
Mm.
That is an Ubisoft game, and it certainly is that. But I think Joseph Seed as a baddie is brilliant. And I'm so sad that he was lumped with a largely unremarkable game because I thought, you know, I don't know for sure. I know you know probably, Peter, but from list spoilers, you know, from doing lists, how that game ends.
Roughly, yeah.
Okay.
Vaguely.
Even though it's a several year old game now, I still kind of don't want to say, but it's a cool ending that is unexpected. And I think Joseph Seed is a great baddie. And the rest of the game was pretty unremarkable, but I had fun playing it in co-op. Still had loads of bugs, just like vehicles disappearing in co-op and things like that. Also, whoever made the bloody decision to make the button to loot bodies the same button to swap weapons with the bodies that are on the floor needs a harsh talking to. I tell you what, the amount of times I'm trying to loot a body and you just swap your gun, it just cartwheels off down a hill. You're like, oh, for God's sake, why is it the same button? This is stupid.
Please.
And I looked in the settings, not very hard, admittedly, but I don't think you can change it. And I didn't look online, but I imagine a lot of people were also kind of miffed that you have to be really careful when you're looting bodies or you'll swap guns. That's silly. Didn't like that. But Far Cry 5, it's fine. Dead Island 2 has just gone on Game Pass, so that's going to be my next co-op game.
The Spider.
The Spider, yes.
Me and my boyfriend played that for like an hour together, and he got so bored that never went back. I never finished that game.
See if I make it further.
I had some fun with Dead Island 1 back in the day, but never tried the second one.
I can't remember. I think I got Dead Island 1 as well, but I got it when it was like incredibly buggy. You know, when it first launched and it was just being, all the clips were being shared online because all the animations looked mad.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when I played it. I don't think I finished it either, but I want to give this new one a go, maybe.
Yeah,
I'm going to give it a go. I played some Helldivers 2, still really fun, still absolutely ridiculous. A little bit more WWE 2K24, and then I did a charity stream over on Vidiot, so I played a few things. I finished off the Blair Witch game from Bloober Team. It's crap.
Yeah.
I've also played, excuse me, and by played, I mean dabbled in a few more horror games just as part of that stream, only for like 10 or 15 minutes at a time. One of them was called Death Park, not a sequel to The Park.
The Park.
Ooh. Very sad. Still set in a carnival sort of thing, though.
Of course it is. Spooky.
And it's quite obviously a port of a mobile game as well.
Right.
So it's really dreadful. Then I played a tiny bit of Case Animatronics, which seems to have quite the following according to Twitch and the amount of people who follow that category, but it is just a rip-off of Five Nights at Freddy's. And then the final thing I played on stream was The Experiment, which is an escape room game. And I was immediately really bored because you just have to touch everything and see what happens.
Right.
And it's not very fun, not for me. Outside of that, though, I played some more Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, still enjoying that, played through a few more story moments, managed to skip through basically two entire new sections of maps worth of side content and just did the story stuff, and it was brilliant. I was great. The pace is amazing now.
I've been doing everything both the areas that have like other stuff.
You were told not to.
I was told not to, but I'm like, I'm just going to do it. I can't be bothered to have to faff about and come back later. I'm just going to do it now. It's both purely because I can see everything on my map and also because I just cannot be asked to have to return later.
You don't have to return ever.
Yeah, but it's on my map, so I'm going to just do it.
Okay.
And I feel like if I can just get all of my Chadley out of the way early on, I haven't got to talk to him as much in the later.
Oh, he'll still call you. Don't
worry.
I
know.
You're
going to
see
him.
You're going to see Chadley. So I played some more of that, and it's so much, the game is so much better when you don't stop every 5 minutes to pick up stuff, you know, or climb a tower or whatever. Great. Gonna try and smash some more of that out this weekend. I finished Star Wars Dark Forces. Turns out all you need to do is just finish the game and you get the platinum. Which is great. Lovely.
Nice.
Like a game like
that. Mm-hmm.
Did have to use a guide in a couple of places because it is it's one of those games where everything looks exactly the same.
Yeah.
But I'm really happy to have finished it. Like that's a game that I only have nostalgia, it turns out, for the first three or four levels because that's all I ever played as a child.
It's like me with Tomb Raider. I'm like, oh yeah, I know this for about an hour. And I'm like, I have no idea.
I've never seen this before in my life.
I am lost and confused.
Yeah.
And I played about two missions of God of War, Gears of War Judgment before sort of giving up on that because it's not really quite Gears of War enough. It's a strange spin-off that's a bit too different from traditional Gears of War structure for me. So that's been abandoned. And that's what I've played.
I did a Google. Great. The other game coming out at some point between now and the end of the year is Star Wars Outlaws, which I think to begin with, I think they said it was going to be sort of early to mid-year, and now they're being a bit more vague about it. So it's apparently between April and December. So could be any day now or
not.
Yeah,
there's not much coming out next month.
No,
we can't get a month off.
Yeah,
we're going to have some time to catch up on things. Mm. Which
yeah,
is lovely.
Yeah. Right, time for question two now, I think.
Yeah.
If that's everything you lot have played.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yes.
This comes from Danny Lucas. Bashta, with AAA games always moving towards live service and massive layoffs that have been happening, and as predicted by me, the oncoming games
that's
industry
it. You are the
crash.
Only one.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't help but notice the growing popularity online of games outside of the AAA sphere. We saw Baldur's Gate 3 win Game of the Year at the Hideo Game Awards last year. Souls-like seems to be coming out every 5 minutes because people actually want to be challenged. And then there was a few other examples, but I've cut them out. Sorry, Danny. Basically, are we seeing an era of video games where the most influential games are no longer the big heavy hitters? They may sell well and look pretty because of the titanic companies behind them, but are they truly as important as the smaller games that seem to stick so well in the minds of the people?
Thanks, Danny.
Thank you. The beauty of an indie game is that, you know, a studio can kind of just go where they feel not necessarily where the money is. There has to be enough money, of course, to warrant doing it, but where the kind of the interest is from a perspective of, like, you know, you see sometimes an indie studio will, like, get the license to do a remake of something that, like, the current rights holder is not interested in, or you'll see spiritual successors to things, or, you know, they can latch onto certain trends. Like, you look at something like Super Meat Boy, like that at the time, there wasn't really anything like that going on, but someone thought, hey, what about a really challenging game, fast-paced, it's just essentially a simple platformer, but very difficult, and then at the end, you see all of your dead bodies all die at the same time. That's like, you know, something where someone was like, that's not what the big publishers are going for, it's what I'm going to do, and I know people are going to like it, and people did. So I think that's the best thing about indie games, is that they can kind of step outside of what the bigwigs are saying, which is, live service is really important and everyone needs to be doing that or similar. I've got a statistic here.
Oh, numbers.
Exciting.
Market research and data analytics firm YouGov shows that, quote, 13% of American PC and console gamers played indie games in 2021, a share which now stands at 18%.
Nice.
And that's according to Forbes, and that was written in August 2023, so it may even be slightly higher now. So that is trending upwards. I saw a separate thing, which admittedly was from a couple of years earlier. It was between March 21 and 22. The only category that was trending upwards in terms of popularity was indie games. All others were trending slightly downwards. Mm. So there definitely appears to be an increase in interest in indie games. It's no surprise. I think we don't need the stats to back that up. It's just you see it all around you, and Danny has quoted some examples there. So I think the main thing really is that indie studios are able to kind of go their own way and say, look, we think that, all right, maybe not everyone in the entire world wants to play this specific idea that we've got, but enough people want to play it that if we make it with, you know, a slightly lower budget than it would be elsewhere, we can do just as well off that than trying to make this huge, huge project that by definition needs to appeal to far, far more people, and sometimes ends up not doing that because of those very reasons, because you're trying to appeal to so many people.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a trend in, like, TV and movies and also in video games at the moment where the big companies don't want to take risks.
Yeah.
They want to just stick to what they think will do well. They're run by a boardroom rather than a group of like-minded gamers.
Creatives,
mm-hmm. Exactly. I think that's where this issue lies, is that the people in charge of these indie studios, and again, indie is one of those words that kind of doesn't necessarily have a particular meaning at this point because no one really knows what an indie is as such. But anyway, not a AAA sphere. Mm-hmm. A lot of these non-AAA studios are run by people who love games, loved games so much that they decided to make their own games and hired other like-minded creatives and people to help make them make these games. And then you have big companies like your EAs and your Ubisofts, which are run by boardrooms who look at just statistics on paper. They look at graphs and they say, this graph says that we should be making this kind of game. It will work because people will buy this game because it's this kind of game. Mm-hmm. And I think we've seen a lot more in recent years, like with live service stuff, people being like, well, they're doing a live service game and it worked. Let's make a live service game ourselves because it will work because it worked for them. And we've seen a lot more of that not pan out. And I do think that gamers are looking for things that are more creative and have more of a soul behind them. And I think some of these AAA games that are coming out, like Far Cry 5, for example, is a game that soul is so far, like, hidden beneath the surface of it being a Ubisoft game that it loses out despite having probably one of, like, well, Far Cry games always have great villains and they always have really interesting stories, but they're sucked so far beneath the meander around a giant open world and climb up a tower to reveal areas kind of situation. And I think that's kind of part of it as well, is that this, a lot of these games are coming out and they feel soulless because they're just not made by people who love games. They're made by, I say made by, the developers probably love games. They're not created by people who love games. They're created by people who love money. So that's, I think, one of the biggest issues with the AAA sphere. However, I do think that, like you're saying, indie games, they just do things that they want to do because they can.
Yeah.
Which I think is really interesting when you think, like, Ubisoft have so much money. They could just do whatever they wanted and probably not make that much of a loss on it, but they won't. They'll stick to what they know because it's safe. And the indie sphere has so many different niches. It has so many different avenues of what you might like that it's just so much more interesting for the average gamer to dive into an indie and experience maybe 8 to 10 hours of a game with a lot of soul that's visually beautiful, rather than dive into a game that's 40 hours long but feels like a slog and doesn't really feel you with any kind of emotion. So I think indie games are definitely having a big uptake recently because of the big companies and their terrible attitude towards the game and the gamers that they are making the game for. So, yeah.
I would, once again, quickly like to say that I do not believe that this is a crash as such, because that would imply that no one's buying these games anymore. Lots of, there have never been more people buying these games. But it is something really bad. And we don't have a name for it just yet, but it's sort of like a special new level of corporate greed.
Mm-hmm.
For want of, can we come up with a better term for it? Not the video game crash, the video game... It's got to be something we can come up with.
Video game greed.
The video game greed.
Sponge.
Greedfall.
Where they're just sponging all the money up.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sponge.
Eventually it's going to get too full and it's going to have to be wrung out.
The video
great
game trash.
Video game dividends rush.
That's catchy.
Yeah.
A sweet passadice of stockholder.
Of sweet teats.
Sweet teats. Yeah, this is a really interesting question. Everything you guys have said is bang on. I still think that probably this is more a movement within the core gaming audience than it is the wider gaming audience. Because if you go and ask a relative or a friend or a coworker who is sort, you know, into games but not into games, you know, they've got an Xbox, they've got a PlayStation, they play Call of Duty, they play FIFA, you know, that every man or woman or other that we often refer to. If you ask them if they've heard of Baldur's Gate 3, they're probably not going to know what it is. But if you ask them if they've heard of Call of Duty or any game that just has a titanic marketing budget, they will have heard of it. There's definitely been a shift in the core audience, though, in the past sort of 15 years or so. And that's definitely been with the rise of influencers, YouTubers, streamers, that kind of thing. Because games like Fall Guys and Among Us, Goat Simulator, 25 years ago, would have been like weird hidden gems that people would be maybe making a retrospective video on YouTube about now, but they wouldn't have had the titanic success that they were able to have because of people championing those games.
Yeah.
So
I also think with games, I also think like the pandemic helped a lot
with
those specific examples, in that people wanted to play games together and these games let people play together without taking the piss.
Yeah. And Warzone did really well out of that as well. So, you know, Call of Duty still did extremely well. But for every smaller game or indie game success story, there's like thousands and thousands that nobody even looks at. You know, the amount of it's tricky because we get emails multiple times a day about smaller and indie games. Every day, all week, for every month, every year. Like there are so many games out there that people are making, and they are desperate for people to see them, and they never get seen. And we feel bad because obviously we'd like to champion everything, but we just don't have the time or the facilities to do that. But it is worth bearing in mind that, yes, while some of the smaller games now, or, you know, Baldur's Gate's not a small game, but it's not a... it's not a huge publisher backed AAA mega $1 million project. Every game that is a success, there are a million others that don't see anywhere near that level of success. So I would say that, yeah.
But I think that happens with AAA games as well.
Well, less so, I would say, because they still know about them. People still have heard of them, at least.
Yeah, people have heard of them, but they become obscure, like, references almost immediately, like Immortals of Aveum.
Oh, for sure,
that came out, and then nobody was talking about it almost like a week after it released.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, it only got mentioned, like you say, because it's a AAA game, but also, like, there's lots of indie games that stay around in the zeitgeist for so much longer. But like I said, there's thousands of games that release every single day. So
there are. I think that's sort of the point I'm trying to make. I think I'm mixing up my words here. But yeah, you are right. Like, there's AAA games do come and go. You got your Suicide Squad. You got, I mean, lots of live service games, as Danny says,
Spokens.
Come out. Yeah, come out, and no one gives a flip. But way more smaller games also are subjected to that treatment.
Yeah.
And it is really heartening to see there being a shift in people's priorities in terms of what they play, going for the more unique, interesting stuff. But I do still think that if it's a war, which it isn't, AAA is probably, it still holds the lion's share of the mind share of gamers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's within the core audience, us people listening to this and watching this, where we're more likely to maybe give a £20 indie game a go over a £70 Immortals of Aveum, for example. Mm. And that's lovely to see. And I don't know what the AAA mega publisher reaction to that is, other than let's make more live service games. And I don't know why they keep doing it. It doesn't make any bloody sense to me at all.
I think you're right as well, Ashton, is in that, like, people might be seeking out indie games specifically because, you know, that's... So it's not exclusively where you have to go to get soul and, you know, interesting narratives and that kind of thing. But the more that big studios lean into live service games and stuff, which can have their own story, but not in the same way that, you know, you get elsewhere, then yeah, people might sort of pivot. You still get your big, like, single player games that have, like, a very focused narrative, you know, something like Spider-Man, you know, great game. And you can have multiplayer and live service games that have, like, genuinely interesting characters and a very long overarching story across many, many seasons. But yeah, if you just want to, like, sit down, enjoy a nice narrative for, like, a few hours, then an indie game might be the place to go.
Mm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, it's time for something a little bit strange.
A bit peculiar, perhaps.
And stop the presses, because it's weird news.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's weird news time. Time for some weird video game news. Remember, if you want to submit your weird video game news to us, make sure you do so under the relevant, oh, so close, social media post that goes out on a Tuesday. If you want to guarantee a shout out at this point in the podcast, though, go to patreon.com/teamtriplejump and become a podcast producer at the appropriate tier, just like
Chip Thompson's Thumbs,
G.Y. Goliath,
Nexus Polaris,
Nicole Hansen,
Kyle Gary,
Andy Scott,
Blake Thomas,
Lockie Morris,
I'm Way Too High,
Charmin No,
Great Giggity,
Melody L. Bonnet,
Katie Garrett,
Gabrielle Philippink,
Potato Shack 99,
Eric Thew,
and Big Money Bobby Vegas. I like the name I'm Way Too High because it sounds like you're just complaining halfway through, like you're too high to continue the podcast.
Oh, that'd
I
be
like
nice.
It. It's good.
Go have a nap.
Or like you're like climbing up a skyscraper.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm way too high.
This is a bad idea.
Yeah. You got some weird news, Peter.
I have. It was sent by Lloyd Williams, who I feel like I pick quite a lot.
Lloyd.
Yeah, or maybe there are
is
multiple
it on Facebook?
Lloyds.
Is it Lloyd yes. with
are they
two?
A top fan?
They're a top fan.
Two or three L's. Because that's how we got to tell them apart now. Lloyd.
It's from gamerant.com.
Yeah.
What's he said now? What's the gamerant
said?
The gamerant, Trevor Edwards, has said, Dr. Phil wants to be in Fortnite.
All right.
Cool.
Iconic show host and television personality Dr. Phil is expressing his desire to have a Fortnite skin of his very own added to the game.
Why?
Then there's a bullet point that says, Dr. Phil wants his own Fortnite skin, comparing himself to Eminem and claiming he moves like a cat. Fortnite fans are surprisingly supportive of this idea, with thousands hoping for a Dr. Phil crossover skin. Dr. Phil has previously has previous ties to gaming culture, hosting a meme review with PewDiePie in the past. Anything is possible in Fortnite. Those were all bullet points at the top of the article.
Oh my God.
Right.
I feel like we may have learned everything
the
at this point.
Bullet and points.
Yeah. Yes. It then, you know, starts its first actual paragraph as though you don't know any of that previous information, tells you what Fortnite is, and it says that, guess what? Dr. Phil wants to be in Fortnite.
Does he?
Crazy.
Yeah.
That's mad.
I wouldn't have known
has
that
he ever hosted some sort of meme review with PewDiePie?
Yeah. I think he might have done.
Does he move like a cat?
He moves just like a cat.
Wow.
Dr. Phil posted a short 20-second video to TikTok discussing the current state of affairs after seemingly taking a moment away from his chat. Why? What was he on? His chat on what? Oh, his chat show, I guess. It just says, from his chat, full stop.
Okay.
Does he still host his chat show? I don't know.
The gamer ant. Get it together.
Turning to face the camera, Dr. Phil asks the Fortnite creators what it is he's gotta do in order to get his own character in the game. After a sigh, he makes a point that Eminem has three different Fortnite skins while he's sitting at zero. He then argues that he moves like a cat and concedes that while that cat may be more like Garfield, it's still a cat, warranting his own Fortnite skin. I'm going to stop there because I don't think there's anything else to say.
So if he manages to determine, because he asked, what do I gotta do to get a Fortnite
what do I
skin?
Gotta do?
Eminem's got three, I've got none. That's the case for us three as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do we gotta do? Is it going to be a bit like what Twitter verification was like pre-buying it, where it was a vague outline of things and you applied and they went, no.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't tell you why.
Not you.
Yeah.
Not you, I'm afraid.
You're not a international white rapper.
Yeah.
You're not real, so I can't verify you.
Yeah.
Because then, you know, the floodgates are open.
Yeah.
If he gets one after asking... do we just, whatever chat it was that he took a break from, we find that same chat and also take a break from it, which arguably we're doing right now.
And if we learn how to move like a cat.
Yes.
Maybe that's what we got to do.
That's what we got to do.
Could be it. I mean, we saw a headline the other day that said EA thinks that AI is going to increase how much people spend on gaming. And we're like, what, really? And when we looked at the article, it's because they were saying, because you could have like AI creating bespoke in-game items for you based on what you want, and then people will be buying that stuff. We could all just have that in Fortnite.
Yeah.
Just make your own skin. Maybe they should just create a character.
Minecraft, yeah, you can do that in Minecraft,
Yeah, you can just do that. You don't need AI for that.
No.
The future's gonna get worse.
Yep.
I have some news.
Go on.
And I think it's also worse. Comes from Luna Moonstone.
Excuse me. Well, speak for yourself.
Luna Demigoddess on Twitter from Kotaku. Well, this first picture's all right, but the second one is
I haven't
bad.
Seen the second one.
Hilarious Final Fantasy VII mod transforms Aerith, Tifa, and Yuffie into muscle mummies. The ladies of Remake have been hitting the gym lately. This comes from Levi Winslow.
Hench, units.
For some reason, it's tagged under Street Fighter VI.
I'm like choking on something here. I don't know. I was sitting completely normally, and then my throat
went, have a sip of water.
Have you done a drink?
Yeah.
Okay. Today, I had a big cough in the car, and I thought I was going to be sick all over myself, because it was like really stuck.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Anyway, like taking a pair of trousers to the tailor, a good mod can breathe new life into a game, altering the way it looks or plays.
What a timely reference.
Interesting.
Like taking your shoes to the cobbler.
Like getting a new wheel for your penny farthing.
Altering the way it looks or plays to exciting or hilarious results. Final Fantasy VII Remake has a few solid mods already, like one that turns pretty boy Cloud Strife into a sexy boy, and another that reimagines Sephiroth as Ronald McDonald, because why not?
Great.
Now, our three best girls, Aerith Gainsborough, Tifa Lockhart, and Yuffie Kisaragi. Yep. Have been given a different kind of makeover, one that sees them put on enough muscle to snap anyone in half.
Nice.
Oh, as spotted by PC Gamer, the mod repository Nexus Mods has a trio of new transformations for the girl band. Created by modder FudgeX02 at the start of March, each mod turns one of Final Fantasy VII Remake's leading ladies into a muscle mummy. I mean, they're jacked, looking like a bodybuilder or maybe a wrestler on steroids. The best part is that in addition to these incredible character models, FudgeX02 has given each of them fitting and hilarious names. We're talking Aerith Gainsborough, Beefa Lockhart,
nice.
And Buffy Kisaragi.
Good.
They're so good, I'm dying, and it makes me wonder if Mako is actually just a green protein shake. Where's the picture gone? Where's the picture gone of Aerith? It was horrible. It's not loaded.
Well, the one of Tifa at the top, she's as wide as she is tall.
Yeah. Well, the one of Aerith like has her in her like signature dress. God. And her it's loaded.
Oh my God.
How horrifying.
The dress is going into her body.
I did see it briefly.
Oh, it's loaded up.
Jesus.
Yeah. Absolutely haunting.
Just massive. Yeah. That's a massive woman.
I'll be honest though, I thought it might be worse than that. I thought it might be. Do you remember that one series they did of Little Britain that was in America?
Oh yeah, with the big muscle suits.
And there were like two like gym bros in a changing room, and they were like three people wide. Yeah. And I think the joke was they dropped their towels and they had
tiny
little penises.
Yeah.
So funny.
As FudgeX02's description of the mods indicate, every aspect of these women has been embiggened. Everything's bulking up, he said. No more Twig Tifa. In DMs with Kotaku on Nexus Mods, he said that while he first made Tifa buff 2 years ago, he since created mods for Resident Evil 4 and Street Fighter 6 to hone his skills. This new Beefa and other two muscle mummy mods for Aerith and Yuffie only took him a couple of hours to put together.
Wow.
He also gave a simple explanation for why he sent our leading ladies to the gym. I always felt Tifa was too thin to be a brawler. That's why I made the first version of Beefa 2 years ago. Of course, my version is too big, but the character really seems like she should be more of a Cammy from Street Fighter instead of looking so frail. As for Aerith and Yuffie, that was just because I could. And he didn't stop to think whether he should.
No.
I like muscular women. To me, muscles are like a bonus modifier. Bigger is better in my eyes. And that's Beefy Yuffie.
Wow. That one's actually slightly more appropriate.
Oh my God. It's still very, very...
It's huge, but
carved.
Yeah.
Carved.
Carved, exactly. So...
Wow.
Yeah. That's the Beefy mods. It's just the Aerith one is so terrible.
That's a frightening one.
The way that like her arms, her shoulders and her neck muscles are so much bigger. She looks sick.
Oh, the shoulders are really bad.
Yeah.
It looks like one of those, like the Titan transformation in Batman Arkham Asylum.
Yeah.
And like bits of his muscles get bigger before others. And it's like, awful.
The worst part about that, though, is calling them muscle mummies.
Muscle mummies.
You're not familiar with that parlance.
Well, I am. I'm just.
Oh,
I don't
you just
like
don't
it.
Like it. No, fair enough.
It could have just been, you know, the muscle mod or the ripped mod, but no. All three of them have been turned into
muscle mummies.
Mummies.
Mm. Yeah, that's my news.
Awful. My news comes from Aaron Pristelski on Twitter at Aaron Pristelski. And this is an article from GameSpot by Luis Joshua Gutierrez. WWE 2K24 feature has players uploading porn to the game again.
Oh, okay.
Yay!
WWE 2K24 launched last week, but in the game's community creations hub, some players are already up to their old tricks. The new creator sign feature allows users to create and share custom images for audience NPCs to hold during matches.
Oh dear.
Instead of having signs with the usual WWE banter on them, some players are uploading sexually explicit images. It's worth noting that there is a system that allows players to flag content as inappropriate, but despite that, many of them have made their way to the top of the most downloaded and most upvoted pages. Some images are featured prominently despite even being days old, making it unclear whether the flagging system is unreliable or if players just aren't flagging them in the first place.
Mm-hmm. No one wants to be a snitch.
Yeah.
WWE
get stitches.
Yeah.
WWE 2K is rated T by the ESRB, but wrestling games are often played by younger kids. And in any event, the sexually explicit content exceeds even an M rating. Having adult content in the WWE games isn't new. In the past, some players used the game's creator logo feature to upload sexually explicit images that would make their way to the top of the most downloaded and most upvoted pages, according to Reddit threads that are sometimes months or even years old.
The internet exists. If you want to, you know, see sexy things, go and pay someone online.
Yeah, but it's funny.
It's funny.
Put it in the game.
It is funny, but why are they number one most downloaded? Like that?
It's funny.
Okay.
It's funny, Peter.
It's really funny.
To have a pair of boobies in the audience.
It's so funny.
WWE.
I mean, that actually is quite funny.
It is quite funny.
I was sort of joking, but if someone in the audience is just holding up a sign with a sexually explicit image on it,
that's actually quite funny.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find the Kotaku write-up on this because surely they will have posted images of it.
Oh God,
probably. Nah, I can't find it. Mm. I've Google image searched as well. Well, just look at porn. That's probably the answer there, isn't it?
Yeah, if you're downloading that mod or you know that kind of thing, just to look at a picture of boobs, why? But yeah, if you're downloading it because you want someone in the audience holding it up, it's funny.
There's lots of boobs out there.
Yeah.
Should we move on to the big discussion?
Yes.
Yep.
It's big discussion time. Time for the big video game discussion that this week comes courtesy of Sarah Keys.
Keys.
With all the leaks about the cancelled Spider-Man multiplayer coming out, what would you have liked the game to end up like had it not been cancelled? And why do you think it was cancelled, given how great it looked? Thank you, Sarah. Yeah, so this news came out this week when a couple of trailers leaked for a game called Marvel's Spider-Man The Great Web. Now, as we've spoken about before, we are not going to give any details or go into detail about the trailer itself because it all signs point to this being part of the ransomware attack on Insomniac. We would also quickly like to apologize as well because having had that discussion previously on this podcast and with the changes to our social media that we talked about at the start of the podcast, we did actually end up reposting that trailer. We have now taken it down and that was our mistake, so apologies. But we are going to talk about what we would like a multiplayer Spider-Man game to be and the sort of features that it could potentially have if we saw a live service attempt from Insomniac in that capacity. Obviously, we know for sure that this game has been cancelled, so presumably we're not going to see it. But if it did happen, what kind of thing would you like to get out of a multiplayer live service Marvel Spider-Man game?
I think it might be quite nice to have a GTA Online style thing where people could like create custom content. You don't always see that in a lot of live service nowadays, even though it's done so well with GTA. You know, it's partly like what has kept GTA Online going. I think it's people making like crazy racetracks and stuff. And like being able to create sort of swinging challenges, the Spider-Man kind. Not Muscle Mommy kind. Where you're having to, like, you know, thread the needle through, like, bridges and, you know, go under underpasses and hit rings or, you know, anything like that. I think that could be fun. So, you know, people being able to, like, make their own. You give gamers any kind of creative tool and they will make amazing things.
And they'll put boobies on a sign.
Or put boobies on a sign.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that might happen.
Well, that's really funny, though.
Yeah, it is funny.
It is really funny. Yeah.
So I think that could be cool. Also, I would like the fact that, like, presumably it would be more sort of possible or acceptable in a live service game to have lots of kind of like shorter stories with various different like rogues gallery characters. You know, when you've got a full like big single player Spider-Man game, you have to make sure that, you know, you pick like not too many villains because you want to focus on like a big bad. And then it's like an overarching story that goes for, you know, 12 hours or 20 hours or whatever, but it would be nice to just have like a whole host of different Spider-Man villains popping up here and there, just like some short little, like a few hours long chapters. And you could like really like make your way through a whole bunch of interesting characters. You could even have like other Marvel characters guesting in. Mm-hmm. Granted, there are like various kind of licensing issues there between Sony and Marvel and things like that. But, you know, the X-Men or something. I think it could be really nice to... It's a good environment to just bring in characters, not have to worry too much about like, oh, we need to like really make a really in-depth, interesting thing for this character for, you know, 20 hours or something. So those are a couple of things I'd like to see.
I think it would be cool. I mean, we've seen at the end of the last Spider-Man game, we got a glimpse of like some multiversal stuff. And then in these trailers, there's... It's kind of the whole premise is there's a multiverse kind of situation. But I would love to visit different New Yorks. Mm. And if they were going down that alley, I'd love to see like different versions of New York that have...
TV just refreshed.
Yeah, that have various different aesthetics and different energies and see like how that changes the game. I know
back
that...
Back in time, old world.
Yeah, you? Yeah, exactly.
That'd be cool.
Like Spider-Noir, like that would be cool. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see, and there's lots of like female spiders that I would think would be really fun to have in there, like your Gwenpools and
Spider-Gwen.
Spider-Gwen.
Madam Web.
And yes.
Where did they meet her mother? Her parents?
When she died in the Amazon.
When she died in the Amazon,
she was studying the spiders before she was born. Yeah. Yeah. Madam Web in there as well.
Yeah.
All of them. All of the greatest hits of Spider-Man. Morbius, him there too.
Spider-Woman. That's another female.
Spider-Girl.
Spider-Pig.
Spider-Pig.
The Simpsons.
Yeah.
The Japanese one from Into the Spider-Verse who's got the robot.
Yeah.
I can't remember what her name is either.
Dead Island 2. The spider, yeah. But that would be really cool. But also I think just one thing that I just really like would like my multiplayer games going forward, doesn't have to necessarily be Spider-Man, but just a little request from me if they do decide to do this in the end, is just my characters to be involved in the cutscenes.
Yeah.
And have like a purpose for being there. Spider-Man obviously does it because it's a single player experience, but I find like a lot of multiplayer games, your characters are like watching a cutscene alongside you and are not involved even a little bit because it's like, we can't tell who's going to be there. Mm. But I just feel like that's not really an excuse anymore. I just would like my character to even just have something to say in a cutscene of benefit and be involved in the story in some capacity. I think that would be nice if pos. But in terms of a multiplayer Spider-Man game, I would just like to more of the same because I loved the last Spider-Man game, thought it was brilliant. But it would be nice to have some like variations in combat if we have different characters and some different skills. That would be very cool. So if they do end up, there was rumors that this might be benefiting Spider-Man 3, which obviously we're not going to see for a very long time at this point. But if it does, that would be great. So
I don't want a live service Spider-Man game.
I wouldn't play either.
Take it away. Stop it.
What if it's not live service though?
Well, that's what I was gonna say. If it was a co-op Spider-Man game, I would be all right with that. Mm-hmm. If it was take Spider-Man 2 but Miles and Peter are in every mission together and have appropriate dialogue and are in cutscenes, and the world map worked exactly the same where, you know, you had a finite amount of side content to complete. Mm. That would be cool. I'd be perfectly fine with that. I would like that. However, if I was to play Devil's Avocado and I'm developing a live service Spider-Man game, that side content, the clear out the hideout, the... Obviously, the random crimes that happen just keep happening anyway.
Yeah.
The caches, the flipping catch the pigeon game, all that kind of stuff.
Backpack.
That would be refreshed daily.
Yeah.
So you would just do it over and over and over and over again, and that's how it would work in a live service game. But the missions themselves would be narratively tight in that they would be interesting. You would go to different locations. They're not going to be a case of go to this place and get 25 of these. Mm-hmm. You know, they're bookended by cutscenes and they've got appropriate dialogue throughout. And there's a finite amount of them. And that would be, let's say, season one when you're in default New York. And then, as you guys have suggested, you go through a portal in season two and you're in the 1940s black and white spider noir version of New York. And then the next season you go to like the Nueva crazy York. Futuristic, what?
I think it's called Nueva.
Oh, is it? Like the 2077?
Yeah.
Is it 2077?
Yeah. Seven? Spider-Man 2077.
Yeah,
I think.
Okay. Yeah. Then you'd go to that and do an entire series of things there. But ultimately what you would be doing, I mean, this is a problem with all live service games. How do you keep people... How would you keep players coming back once they've finished the actual story?
Yeah. Mm.
Are the dailies that exciting? Do you create an original spider person at the start or do you have to pick from one of four, you know?
I agree with you. I'm very much playing devil's advocado with my, I'd like to see this and I'd like to see that, but I actually would not play a live service Spider-Man game. Yeah. I don't play live service games full stop.
No.
I barely even play multiplayer games full stop, but yeah.
I'd play it if it was multiplayer like a Borderlands. Yes. Well, do you know what would be cool, actually? It's like Gotham Knights style, you can be in two different places in New York doing your own thing, but way better than Gotham
Knights. But not 30 frames. Yeah. And anyone can start
works
missions.
On my internet.
That would be nice.
That would be nice.
The talking about this actually reminds me a lot of when I used to play DC Universe Online. Mm. Because I mean, there's a lot to like and a lot to dislike about the MMO structure of MMOs anyway, particularly how that impacts cutscenes and quality of visuals and quality of story when it's so disjointed naturally because of how it, you know, it's massively multiplayer and so on. I would almost rather that live service can jog on and they just made a Spider-Man MMO almost and you just have a bigger New York or even the same size New York. It's massive. And there's just like, maybe it could be a smaller scale MMO, like Fallout 76 kind of style, where you're capped at 20 spider people going around, but you're all doing your own thing. You can party up if you want, and it leans more into MMO trappings than live service trappings. Mm-hmm. I would, if I had to have one, I would prefer that to a live service one, because then I know at least with an MMO, there's fewer predatory practices in place to try and keep me coming back day after day, gatekeeping and withholding content and stuff like that. At least an MMO is like, there's flipping tons to do. You know, your enjoyment and your mileage may vary. Go for it. Play as long as you want. And then buy the expansion when that comes out, if you'd like to. And then there's going to be more multiplayer Spider-Man for you. Whereas live service will be, here's a little crumb, a little bit of drip-fed content every day. Please come back. Please only play our game. So that's what I'd prefer.
Mm. I always think, like, with any superhero fiction, why the petty criminals are still going. If you've got a superpower and you're a supervillain, then fair enough. But why are you, like, trying to rob a bank?
I always think that.
And imagine a New York with 20 Spider-Men swinging around in it, and there are still people just nicking cars.
Well, then why not make it a PvP MMO and have 10 villains that you could play as a spider baddie, which you could in DC Universe Online as well. You start as a hero or a villain, and you choose your powers and method of getting around. You know, all of them should be able to swing, but maybe some have jetpacks. Maybe that's something you level up and unlock. You get some gadgets that let you just fly. I know you can essentially fly in Spider-Man 2 anyway, but there's all sorts of ways that a game like this could be done.
There's lots of enemies they can bring in or bring back or, you know.
Multiverse stuff.
Yeah. So there's,
That's the thing, even when people who are dead or incarcerated in the current, you know, Marvel Spider-Man timeline, you just say, oh, look, a hole has opened up and here comes Doc Ock or Goblin.
Oh, no, it's Morbius.
Yeah.
He's here. To bore you to death.
He
just screens Morbius in Times Square and everyone has to watch.
He keeps saying, it's Morbin time.
Stop saying it's Morbin time. He gets beaten up by 20 Spider-Men every time. So stop saying that. Honestly, if the live service push is truly the future of gaming that we have to adapt to or stop playing games altogether, then adapting really well established gaming franchises that already feature prominent IP, I would be far more interested in a Spider-Man live service game than I would pay dollar sign day or whatever the hell it is, you know, like a live service shooter, like a new IP. And this is part of the problem, I suppose. Like the stuff we talk about all the time is that established IPs are way safer.
But Suicide Squad is an established IP in an established universe by an established company, and it went down like...
It was crap. Mm, yeah. It was crap. But I bought that and I played that because I was interested in the live service, not the live service, in the franchise and the, you know, it being part of the Arkham series and Rocksteady and stuff. Yeah, it was bad.
You're going to play it when...
But I bought it.
When Joker joins?
No. I can't believe I haven't sold it yet, to be honest. It's just been sat on my shelf waiting to be sold.
And I think that line even comes down to it not just being established IP in the sense that a certain license is being used, but a specific iteration of it. So a Spider-Man live service game based on the Insomniac Marvel Spider-Man universe is more appealing to me than, hey... Someone else is doing a Spider-Man live service game. Like, you know, having that established engine for a start and knowing that, like, functionally it ought to hopefully do well, other than introducing multiplayer, that tends to break all sorts of things.
Yeah.
But, you know, you know there's, like, a good grounding there versus someone rebuilding something from the ground up and saying, it's a new live service game. It's Spider-Man. Yeah, but it's not Marvel Spider-Man, is it?
Yeah. Mm. No, absolutely. And this could have been the way that... I think they should have done this to begin with, to be honest. I mean, as cross as we would have been sat here talking about, really, you're gonna make Insomniac, you're gonna make Naughty Dog, you're gonna make Guerrilla, Sucker Punch work on a live service game when they could be making us something that we actually want.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would have been a better introduction to the PlayStation, you know, exclusive players to live service than, hey, here's some shooters.
Yeah.
There you go.
Mm.
Yeah, go on. Give it a try.
Yeah.
I mean, Helldivers 2 obviously is disproving all of that stuff. But it's really interesting. We'll have to see what happens. But I don't know. In terms of why it was cancelled, I can only assume this was, you know, projects get cancelled all the time for whatever reason. There's obviously been a lot of job losses at PlayStation recently anyway. I don't know. There's no way of knowing if that was connected to this at all. It could just be that they decided after seeing how much money was poured into factions at Naughty Dog for so long, and Bungie said, that's rubbish, that they just thought, no, these guys are better served working on stuff that's guaranteed to make us money.
Yeah. I have seen people say, like, oh, it looks so good, or like it looks so close to being finished. Why did they cancel it? And I think, I don't know if it is necessarily either looks really, really good, because I don't think it does specifically.
I thought it was a modded
fan trailer.
And I don't think it clearly looks very close to being finished. I think, again, you've got that established tech there. You've already got the world built and all the animations and all that stuff. So that work was already done. That looks finished in that sense. But they didn't actually show anything that looks like, you know, some really, really like intense work has gone into this and it's ready to go. It was basically just a bunch of people fighting goons. I don't think we saw anything else really.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's as finished as some people seem to think it looks to be.
Yeah.
Well,
let us know what you think of this, you know, continued live service push. Would this game have been any good?
Live service, or did you just assume it was live service?
I don't know. I suppose all of the reporting has said live service. I don't think I've plucked that out of nowhere, but actually, now that you mention it, I don't know.
No, I don't. I just assumed it wasn't.
I got the impression that it would be live service because of the fact that they showed a lot of different villains, just stills, like artwork stills of like Sinister Six, I think it was. And to me, that tells me different villain every month kind of thing. But I don't know.
It was my immediate assumption, but you like we don't actually know officially anything about this, do we? So that whatever it could have just been, it could have just been a multiplayer game. Difficult to say for sure. But let us know what you would have liked to have seen from something like that had it ever come to fruition, or if indeed something similar does come to fruition in the future. Would you prefer a live service shooter, or would you prefer a live service based on established Sony first party titles? Let us know. We'll be interested to hear from you. Peter's got a few places where you can find us on the internet.
You can find us at youtube.com and twitch.tv, both /TeamTripleJump. We put all of our videos on YouTube, of course, and we do almost all of our streams on Twitch. And if you have got Amazon Prime, you are paying for a bundle of all sorts of things, and in that bundle is a Twitch sub. So you can redeem that on our channel at no extra cost. You'll get all the benefits of being a subscriber, but without paying anything on top of what you're already paying for Amazon.
Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, on all of which we are at Team Triple Jump. Team Triple Jump Gaming is the new handle, if you see it. That's us. Don't be alarmed.
The new name, but not
the new name. Not new handle,
still
sorry.
Team Triple Jump.
And of course, patreon.com/Team Triple Jump.
TripleJ.mup is our website. That's where you can find links to everything that we do, get a cameo from us, etc. And why not leave a 5-star review on your platform of choice? It helps something to do with Al Gore's rhythms, and we'd really, really appreciate it. So thank you very much. Peter, would you like to tell us this week's sponsor once again, please?
Yep. Hope you like June and those big glizzy worms in the sand. Because they're in Star Wars now.
Mm-hmm.
Star Worms Battlefront.
Collector's Collection.
Excellent. Thank you so much for listening/watching, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.